Okay, so I don't need to say that, huh? Okay, so this is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the June 22nd, 2021 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. Elizabeth, could you please take roll? Oh, excuse me. We'll start with the pledge. Mm-hmm. I'm going out of order. So we'll have Dave lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Elizabeth will take roll.
Okay, would you all stand, put your hand over your heart. If a veteran, you may salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag,
of the United States of America,
and to the Republic,
for which stands one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay. First name, Elizabeth. I'm here. Elaine.
Present.
Gene is absent. He's up fishing. Phil.
Present.
John.
Present.
Oh, Dave.
Present.
Cynthia. Okay,
we have a quorum, and as a guest today, we have Meredith Chalemi, the chair of the Health Reimagined Standing Committee, and Orange County Office on Aging staff, Erica Danzek and Jenna Sergio.
And I believe Carolyn Inman might be joining us.
Okay, thank you, Dave. So now it's time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the executive board regarding any item within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Jenna, are there any requests to speak?
No, we did not receive any, and we do not have anyone in the attendee room at this time.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. So public communications is now closed. And we are off to the Office on Aging updates. Erica, take it away.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So just a few updates for Office on Aging. We are first and foremost paying attention to the state budget. We should have a final budget anytime, you know, nearing the end of the month. We're hearing that most of the budget proposals and requests that have been coming through our state associations have made it through the legislature. They're just in final negotiations, but by and large, we're seeing historic investments in aging services like we've never seen before. After many, many years of flat funding or even significant cuts, depending on the program, we are seeing very large investments, new investments in aging services at the state level. And we also are expecting federal stimulus funds to address senior nutrition, as well as ombudsman services and elder abuse prevention. So very large buckets of state and federal funding coming down to support aging programs, which we're very excited about. We're also very anxious about because we're a small office in a big county. And so we're gonna really rely on the help of our other county departments to implement some of these services. And we're also going to be calling on our contracted partners and probably even bringing on some new additional community partners, as well as trying to grow the Office on Aging, just to be able to manage all of this. It's going to be a delicate dance though, because in the May revise, we see a combination of new investments, some suspension lifts, funding that had a sunset date like the ADRC and senior nutrition. Those suspensions were lifted, so that will be an ongoing source of funding. But there are some one-time only funds for infrastructure building that will only be in place for the next 2 to 3 years. So, you know, the county taking a very conservative approach, we don't want to ramp up and then not be able to sustain it in the long term. So we need to be very strategic and, you know, having those conversations about how do we meet the need, but then also don't find ourselves 2 to 3 years from now having to lay off or reduce services. So I will continue to keep SCAC updated, you know, once we have those final budget approvals and we see what Orange County's allocations are going to look like in terms of the exact dollars that are going to be coming to us. In the same token, you know, we're having discussions at the county level about the master plan for aging. And the reason why we're seeing this huge increase in aging support in terms of the funding is probably a perfect storm of COVID really drawing a lot of attention on how important it is to support this vulnerable population, but also because of the state's master plan for aging. Those are just two really big initiatives that are drawing a lot of attention and focus on supporting seniors. So we know that we can point to these new funding sources and see what master plan for aging goal it's really getting behind. And so we're having those discussions. We just had our monthly county work group for the master plan for aging, talking about how we want to start implementing our local playbook. And what we're thinking is that we thought we were going to be able to meet with the state before we could start anything. California Department of Aging reached out and said, we're willing to host workshops for your county to talk about local implementation of the playbook. They have since rechanged their offer because I think they're a little shorthanded at CDA, quite frankly. They're trying to staff up with all this master plan stuff at the same time that they've lost staff due to retirements and so forth. So that offer was predicated on them hiring someone, which they haven't been able to find. So they're kind of kicking that down the road till maybe the end of July, even into August, before we can get in front of the state and really hear what their vision is for us. And we're thinking that we want to do some form of community engagement, be it a survey, one for providers, one for consumers themselves, but then also start doing some focus groups and some town hall meetings, really get the support of the Board of Supervisors. Our CEO's office has briefed the Board of Supervisors on the Master Plan for Aging as an emerging initiative, but it's been a while since they've really been able to update them on current plans and ideas. So that is going to happen in the next couple of weeks, and then hopefully we can join forces with our community partners like OC Spa or the Aging Services Collaborative that have an event that they would like to do in the beginning of November, and we can partner with them and do some community engagement town hall type thing. So lots of irons in the fire, nothing concrete or date set in stone. There's just a lot of moving parts. But first and foremost, we want to see what that budget looks like when it's finally signed by the governor and we can see what Orange County is getting. And then the next thing I wanted to just touch on is that our other big focus is reopening. We know that California has moved past the blueprint tiered system, so we are fully reopened and businesses are able to resume usual operations. And so as we open up our county offices, we're also working on providing guidance for senior centers, aging programs, those that we have contracts with. So we've issued that guidance to them, I think it was last Tuesday, and we've created a page on our Office on Aging website that people can refer to for that guidance. The guidance is very generic on purpose. It mirrors the guidance that we got from the state, and the tone was, you might want to consider this, you might want to think about this, but it wasn't, you must do this by this day. A lot of the onus was put on the local area agencies on aging to develop their own protocols. And so we just followed that same spirit of, you might want to consider this. Here's some helpful tools. Here's some questions that you may want to ask of your organization to determine your own readiness. some readiness checklist that they can complete so that if they're able to answer yes to all of those questions in the readiness assessment, we can have our county staff do a site visit and just go out and do a walkthrough and kind of make sure that they've got everything in place for reopening and that we're available if they have any questions or want to talk about any concerns before they really advertise that they're open for business. So there's that piece of it, and that's something that we're required to do because we fund those programs through various contracts. But we also know that we're part of a much larger aging community of nonprofits, senior centers, community-based organizations that don't necessarily receive county dollars. So they're not mandated to meet our requirements, but we want to be helpful to their work. And so what we have done is we've enlisted the help of an outside contractor, Charitable Ventures Orange County. They're going to be helping to put together a reopening resource toolkit for those that provide services to older adults and people with disabilities. And first and foremost, we wanted to convene a steering committee so that we could get those experts to inform this process. And Meredith and Elaine have agreed to be on that reopening work group. And we just had our first meeting last week. So there's some homework assignments that came out of that first steering committee meeting to gather resources that are going to be vetted and approved to end up in the final resource toolkit. We've got one more meeting before we finalize that toolkit and talk about how it's going to be disseminated out in the community. And then the final two meetings of that steering committee, which will happen in September and October, are about doing a community awareness campaign, some public messaging around helping older adults feel encouraged and positive about re-engaging into their community as things start to reopen. There's still a lot of hesitation and anxiety out there from all the things that we're hearing. We've got a combination of vaccinated versus unvaccinated co-mingling. We've got people that are complacent and just, very hesitant to take that first step to re-engage. But we know that the long-term mental health impacts of isolation can really take a toll on seniors, especially those that were already frail to begin with. And the benefits of re-engaging and participating and being involved in your community, we've seen the research, it has tremendous benefits. So we want to put that positive messaging out there and make sure that we're customizing those messages to reach the hard to reach, those that are dealing with cultural barriers, language barriers. So it's going to be a challenge, but it's a very focused, targeted effort. Our contract with Charitable Ventures is very short term. It's only through November, which is why the steering committee is only meeting four times with a very focused effort with tight deadlines. So we are very busy, very busy. Lots going on at the Office on Aging. I think that's all I have. That was a lot. I'll pause for questions.
That was a lot of great information, Erica. Anyone have any questions for Erica? Or okay. All right. Well, then I'll go on to my section of the agenda. Under new business is, so we do have an applicant for SCAC, but according to our bylaws, they need to attend a SCAC meeting and a standing committee meeting. So it's kind of unfortunate that this came in while we're on the June break. So, I'm very excited about this candidate. His name is Ambrose, or he goes by KC Hung. He is he's a doctor, gerontology, and he lives in Laguna Woods. So I'm very excited about that. He's real anxious to get involved. So as soon as he can attend those meetings, as soon as we have the meetings for him to attend, then I'll bring his application forward. And we still do have some openings on SCAC, so please, be out there with your antennas up and your advocacy for SCAC to get some qualified members. We have two openings in the second, for as far as supervisor appointees, two openings in the second district, one in the first on city selection, which won't come around again until November. We have one in the fifth district. And then we do have a couple of spots for SCAC board appointees. So, again, we're looking for very qualified candidates. My philosophy is, and I hope that you share it, is I'd rather have an empty seat than someone who's not going to do anything. I mean, we need to be sure that SCAC members are committed and that we have a fair assessment of what we're able to do and what our bandwidth is regarding the members and that everyone's participating. I don't have any old business right now. I do have some comments though, just to share with you and kind of to piggyback onto Erica's comments around the advisory steering committee. And one of the concerns that I have, and I'll keep expressing this, is the speed or lack of that we move. And I really think there needs to be a sense of urgency with any work that is done regarding the reopening of the senior centers, because they are opening. They are. In fact, in Laguna Niguel, our senior center itself is not ready to open because we were having a lot of work done inside during COVID. And with all of the construction supply shortages, that had been delayed. So Sea Country will be opening beginning of August, but we did start some senior activities. So we had one last week and it was an ice cream social. And our senior staff really didn't know what to expect. They had people sign up just to gauge it. A lot more came than signed up. We had it at our new Crown Valley Community Center. And it was a lot of fun. We had about 40 seniors just came, they got their ice cream and they sat down and they visited with their friends. So had a couple of those encounters that you need to handle delicately when some people ask me, where's so-and-so? And, they're looking for their friends and that is something that was expressed by our senior center staffs when SCAC did the survey, is those conversations when they find that certain friends have not come back. So I do have a question though, Erica, on, I know we have reached out to our supervisors to meet with them. Has there been any response yet from them? Okay. So we're gonna devise another strategy. So we've gone the way we're supposed to, following protocol. So I think what we'll do is Eric and I will sit down and talk and reach out to certain SCAC members who have a relationship with specific supervisors and then get in their door that way. So because we do wanna get in front of them and be sure that they are aware of what we delivered to them and take that seriously. Okay, that's all I have, unless anyone has any questions for me. Seeing none, okay. So standing committee reports, and Jean is not here. So if anyone has an update from their standing committee, I know we've been dark in June, so I don't know if there's anything new. If Meredith, if you have anything, please feel free to chime in. If not, that's okay too.
I was just going to share that the last time we met in May, we had a guest speaker, and I wrote down the from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and she gave a talk on let's talk about saving lives for seniors, and it was excellent. And I think that that's something that we might want to consider for public awareness as well. But the more we talk about it and have these common sense resources, and people don't avoid these conversations, especially when we're all coming back together, the better off it will be. So it was excellent. We all enjoyed it, and we think that it's important information.
Okay, very good. And that's also information, when you have an outstanding speaker, is to forward that to Phil, because that's someone we may want to have in front of the full SCAC.
And the speaker has had a suicide in her own family, and that's really her heart's mission, is to get this word out. So it was very heartfelt and very touching.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you were able to bring that to your committee. But, you know, Phil has our presentation schedule figured out, but he also needs some backup speakers too, just in case you never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
He's already starting to plan for next year. Wonderful. So, okay, so now let's move on to the approval of the legislative committee's new name. So there's been some discussion on that, and Evelyn did send out an email to the entire legislative committee to see if they had any input, and that all the names would be considered. So the names that we have, and it is the SCAC executive board is the one who determines what the standing committees are. So that's why we have the responsibility for approving the new name. So, you know, keeping in mind that the legislative committee is now going to be focusing on goal 3 of the master plan on aging, which is encompasses legislation as it has, but it also encompasses technology, engagement, fraud, awareness, things like that. So when all of that is looked at, what's under that umbrella, the names that have been suggested, the first one was Senior Engagement Committee. And that one was very well received, and because that really kind of identified everything that is part of that third goal for the master plan on aging. And a number of the committee members did say, they chimed in an email saying, yes, they did like that name. Another one that was suggested was Senior Connection Committee. And a third one was, and it was more of a concern or a question, whether or not these names are internal or if they're external facing. And if it's an external facing committee, rather than senior engagement, senior citizen engagement committee. So I believe that the committees are more internal facing, and you do have the SCAC in front of it. So if we're talking about a standing committee, it's the SCAC, whatever, SCAC Housing and Transportation, or SCAC Engagement Committee, or SCAC Health Reimagined Committee. But that's up for discussion. So please chime in.
Good question.
Cynthia?
So the new name is for what, replacing what committee?
The Legislative Committee.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Because that's going to encompass more than just legislation.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes sense. I didn't know if I drifted out. So thank you.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments, Phil?
One of the things that I got thinking about in your first one, you would you repeat that for me?
Senior Engagement Committee.
If we put senior engagement and state, would that help provide, because legislature goes to the state?
Doesn't make sense.
I think that may create some confusion in the name. And
of
also
course.
Because we don't, this is a county committee. We report to the supervisors.
Right. Yeah, you're. Well, I like the first one.
Senior Engagement Committee. Okay,
yes,
very good.
Absolutely, that's powerful.
Okay, and I see Dave's little hand up there.
Yeah, I just wanted to, since one of the names being discussed is one that I kind of originated, I am going to abstain from any comment or any vote on that. So if you wish me to leave, let me know. Otherwise, I'll just mute myself and listen to the comments.
Okay. I don't know. I think you can stay, Dave. Okay. So any further discussion on the committees or the committee names? So then let's vote. And we may have to do a couple of rounds.
Do you need a motion?
Well, let's see what the consensus is, and then we'll have a motion to formally name it. So how many prefer you? We've got Senior Engagement Committee, Senior Connection Committee, or Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. So how many prefer Senior Engagement Committee? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Put Phil in there.
And 4. Okay. Senior Connection Committee. 0. Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. 2. Okay. So we have 4 for Senior Engagement Committee and 2 for Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. Do we want to discuss the difference between those two names? Does anyone have a point they want to make? Erica?
I'm fine with going to the first one. I mean, it's so close, it didn't matter to me. So I'm okay. Fine with going with the other one.
Okay, Erica?
I'd say the same. I mean, I don't feel super strongly one way or the other. I like them both. Senior can be used to refer to other things besides just senior citizens or older adults. Senior program manager, senior director. So I think senior citizen makes it real clear that it's for the actual senior citizen population and engaging that group. But like I said, this is an internal standing committee of a larger senior citizen council. So that may not be as important.
Yeah. Okay. Phil, did you have a comment?
Well, I learned a long time ago to go with Erica because she has content more than what we understand and know. So I would change for Erica, senior citizen.
Okay. So now it's tied then if you're switching your vote. Okay. I think I will agree with you, Phil. In fact, that Erica sees a larger world than we do. So maybe we'd go with the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee.
That's actually how I kind of listened to it when you called out the name. So, and that's why I voted that way. But, you know, again.
Okay. So we're taking Dave's suggestion, but just inserting the word citizen. For senior citizen. So is there a motion?
I move.
I make.
Okay, Elizabeth, what do you move?
We take, call it the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee.
Okay, the senior citizens or citizen? Cool. Erica, with an S at the end or not? I can't hear you. You're muted.
Sorry, S at the end.
Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. So it's moved and it's seconded by Cynthia Thacker. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? I'm waiting for Dave. Okay, Dave abstained. Okay. So the new name for the legislative committee is the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. Very good. It's official. Thank you, everybody. Okay, now we're on to the technology ad hoc committee report. Dave.
Yes, did everybody receive the committee's report that Elaine sent out earlier today, I believe, or last night?
And I apologize for the delay on that. I took from Thursday afternoon off. So, sorry.
We are submitting a report to the executive board with the research done by the tech committee. Meredith has been one of the members, Carolyn, and then there's Tony and Crystal. We're all members. We met on Friday afternoons, believe it or not, on a very compact schedule since we wanted to mainly focus on short-term issues, since there are programs that are developing. Most of these programs are going to be one-time funding. And we looked at the programs. We established the needs. We looked at the long-term areas, as we've talked about before, with computer, dividing it into computer devices, connectedness, funding, education, and motivation as broad categories that the committee will be looking at short-term and long-term. We quantified, you know, the problems with senior citizens' digital divide. It could be stress, depression, unhealthy habits, cognitive decline, pessimism, lack of access of healthcare via telemedicine. And I think we've all gone through those problems. And of course, a great one is concern is suicide with the digital divide and what we've faced with COVID. So those, you know, are the problems, quality problems and so forth. So then we looked at the programs that are available. There is one program through utility programs where they are going to be offering connectability, but this is a one-time program. And based on the quantifications of who is eligible, that is a very narrow area of seniors that may be available for that. There is another program that of great interest, and Erica can respond on this more than I can because she's in the midst of it, but it's the Connections Health Aging and Technology Project, or CHAT for short. And through the California Department on Aging and a cooperative effort through AT&T, I believe, that the state is going to be offering 4,000 iPads loaded with software that is going to be made available through the Area Agency on Aging. I think our allocation for Orange County is going to be 300. And when we took a look at supporting data with the number of people that actually called for COVID testing, requesting a ride or requesting information on shots, that kind of gave us an indication out of the 300, how many more people there may be. And I think we came to a conclusion that could be 4,000 more people that did not have connectability during the COVID crisis. And that's the kind of number that we picked on. Erica, I just sent me some more recent update. I don't know if those numbers change much from that, Erica, or not. So if we used 4,000, because the county is going to want data supporting our proposal in regards to the number, and that's number we thought would be a good appropriate request. Some of the actions that we are suggesting to be taken, and I think it fits very much into what Erica was reporting previously too. One is market, having a public service campaign through nonprofits, brochures, public, and I believe at one time they had information on SCAC or senior programs through utility inserts. So, or something that would consolidate the senior population, but promote the programs, the CHAT program, other new programs that might develop over time. And pursue with AT&T or other utilities a private-public partnership similar to what's being developed with CHAT. One of the concerns that we had, more long-term than short-term, is when we contacted the California State University Fullerton's Demographic Research Institute, we found out there's very little data that indicates that studies digital divide. And we felt, you know, this is not a one-time problem with digital divide due to COVID. This problem is still gonna continue. So one of the recommendations that we are gonna make is further research be conducted through the Office on Aging or through this, the county, and looking at getting more analytical research with the digital divide. And that might indicate where the problems are more so than other areas, so they can pinpoint and concentrate on the needed areas of the county more so than others. And so in summary, we have three actions that we are recommending. One is the marketing availability of technology to homebound seniors. Increase the CHAT numbers from 300 to 5,000. And I think this would cover most of the area that's isolated. And installing the get set up on those 5,000 iPads. The benefits of this, we believe, would be decreased depression, delay cognitive decline, and promote physical health, either medical information, appointments with doctors, and physical distress. You would see benefits in safety, socialization, promotion of mental stimulation and entertainment, and the convenience to help seniors become connected. We like to think of not digital divide, but digital promotion. So that would be our recommendations. And again, I want to thank the committee. We did, I think, over a short period of time, they all did an excellent job pitching in. Carolyn kind of put the piece, all the pieces that we discussed together in an excellent report. I kind of analyze it as putting a 1,000-piece puzzle together, blindfolded. So Carolyn and others. So the committee members again are Anthony Olivano, Meredith, Carolyn, and Crystal, and myself. So that is our report, our first report to the executive committee. Elaine, discussion?
Dave, do you have a... Hey, Phil, could you please mute your phone? Or Jenna, or can you mute him? Jenna's, okay.
Meredith, Dave, do you have anything to add?
Not right now, wait, I think Elaine has a question.
Yeah, do you have an idea of what, because one of the asks for the Board of Supervisors is to install Get Set Up. Do you know what the cost for that will be?
Erica sent me a report on the AT&T price estimate for iPads. And let's see, for the iPad 8th generation and case, it's about $357 per unit. For a 24-month plan, it came out to about $562 in total for a 2-year grand total per device. It came out to $920.06.
So you're saying that's 2 years for the device and get set up.
Get set up and everything comes out to a cost of $920 for a 2-year period.
Okay, so approximately close to $1,000.
Per unit.
But aren't...
Now there's, this could be not everyone or not, I would say everyone would need the benefit. I think there's ways of, I remember when we started using computers, our employer would give us an interest-free loan. Now we ultimately paid for the unit ourselves, but there's, I think, solutions where seniors are going to be willing to pay for this, and not everyone would have to have full compensation to the $920. I think there's ways of collecting contributions for this from the individuals who are paying for it at a discounted rate or interest-free. It doesn't have to be fully funded.
Yeah, because the $5,000, that's $4.6 million. Mm-hmm. But chat, when you were talking about chat, isn't that from CARES Act funding?
Yes.
So the county wouldn't be paying for those devices.
Those are 300 units only. And we're saying that the population is much greater than that.
Okay, so what this proposal then is asking for the county to pick up the difference rather than asking the county to advocate for a higher allocation.
Right.
Okay, Cynthia.
That's going after people that don't have any units or any computers or whatever. Don't you have a program or cost for just installing that onto people that iPhones or, you know?
I think this is a long range goal in that area. This was just concentrating right now just on the programs that are available. That's, it's only going to be a 1-year program.
So, but it's for new people only. What about the people we can address at the same time?
And I think that can be concentrated with the literature campaign. What other? This is part of the promotion of it.
And that literature campaign would have also a dollar amount to it too.
Right? And you can promote what programs are available. You know, there's other programs out there that would assist seniors that already have the hardware. Now the the Wi-Fi companies, they're offering that program. The city, the county could expand on that program and try to develop an additional private-public relationship with the Wi-Fi companies that would expand discounts for seniors with what to expand Wi-Fi connection.
I hate to monopolize, but I have one more question.
No.
Do you know how easy these programs are to use? Because I think that would be the number one for any project to go out to seniors, is how easy are these programs? Because I know I'm pretty computer literate, that sometimes, you know, these, they're not, all of them are very easy. So do you know?
Right offhand, no. I would assume for some seniors, it would be difficult. That's why I think with the chat program, having those programs preloaded, and there are programs that are available to where seniors can go on once they are Wi-Fi connected. And there's classes available that can help them with that. That's why I'm saying you can continue to expand the program And there are solutions out there to educate seniors on the operations. The first thing is you got to get it in their hands first. First things first, and then expand on the educational tools that are available to help them use the system.
I'm wondering, and I'm thinking back to GrandPad and how that would differ than this, because GrandPad already comes set up with the programs on it, because the majority of this cost is the get set up. And I'm wondering, do all seniors, I mean,
we're using it at Life Steps right now, and because we got a grant. The GrandPad has to have a relative basically administer everything on behalf of a senior. So we're finding at our agency that it's not something that we want to do again because of the behind the scenes administration that's required.
Okay, but what is the cost for it?
The GrandPad is, I think it's about $700 for a year.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if the get set up, I know we know the value of that program, but is that something that everyone wants or needs, or if there's a version of this that, maybe someone doesn't necessarily want to take classes, they just want to have a device that's easy to use.
Well, there's also classes on YouTube and other places too that are free of charge. I personally think it's more important to get people the devices that are connected than to get them get set up if we have to choose.
Yeah, a device that's easy to use, and to get them connected. So, and what does that look like? Rather than $920 a year, is that just the $357 one-time expense? And the $920 a year, doesn't include their cable or Wi-Fi or connectivity, is that correct?
The report that we have presented does not exclude other private public promotions. As we say in one of the actions, it is pursue a public-private partnership with AT&T and or tech nonprofits targeting seniors. And so we're not eliminating GrandPad or anything like that. There's a system that's been started with chat. So we want that concept of the program expanded.
Yeah.
But it does not necessarily have to be with AT&T. It could be AT&T, it could be GrandPad through consumer cellular services. We're not eliminating one or the other. We're just in the marketing efforts, we can make those proposals that there are more than just one program available.
Yeah, and well, also depends on the service provider for that area too. But I'm looking at the action summary, and one of the things that you're requesting is to install Get Set Up.
Yes.
So, okay.
I think we might be able to get a more updated quote from Get Set Up, because I think it's tiered depending on how many users are going to be on that account. The prices that Dave mentioned for the chat, that doesn't include Get Set Up. So it is simply the cost of the device, and it's preloaded with an AT&T data plan. So they don't need Wi-Fi or broadband or anything like that. It comes preloaded with a data plan. So that is separate and aside from the Get Set Up account that would allow people to have a username and password and access all the classes that Get Set Up provides. So I think we probably need to parcel out those costs if we want to start recommending some a la carte kind of packages, the with or without. But just to just to comment on some of the things that Dave mentioned. Our office is, we're frustrated at the amount of devices that are allocated to Orange County because we have such a large senior population that 300 devices is just a drop in the bucket.
I was so surprised, Erica.
Yeah. It almost makes us say like, thanks, but no thanks, because the amount of administration and oversight that we're going to be required to make sure that we're in compliance with these devices is just not worth the headache for only 300. But at the same time, it could show that we have a model that works and we're able to get devices into the hands of 300 seniors that need them. And this is what they were able to do with that assistance to be able to say, this is how much we need to grow this program. And here's the potential. But on the administrative side, the state is asking us that we have to track each and every device. So before we can even issue them, we have to tag them with an equipment number. We have to come up with a policy and a protocol for issuing those devices, and we have to track them. So for seniors, if they lose it, if it gets stolen, there's all this paperwork that we have to complete for each and every device.
So is this considered a loan? Are we loaning the devices, or are
yes,
we
getting- yes, it is not. It is not an asset for the senior. It is an asset of the state that they're letting the senior borrow, and it's up to our office to track it.
Okay, is that something that maybe you could coordinate with OCPL, because they had to go through that whole thing when they were when they got the hotspots that could be checked out. Mm-hmm. So maybe, okay.
Yeah, but of course, you know, with the state's initiatives on equity and inclusion, they want to make sure that we have preference for communities that are of low income, Black and Brown communities, those that are on that that equity cusp. We have to have those built into our policies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, but also then if the county were to pursue some of these with county funding, there would be maybe some economies of scale. So the larger number gets them better pricing.
Right. And depending on the funding source, even if we were able to get some private donor funding, less oversight, because that's a lot of responsibility to track these devices.
So maybe the private donor funding, the donor can have a big sticker of their logo on the back.
Yeah. It just seems like a real administrative nightmare to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I suggest you talk to Julie on, you know, maybe there can be, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel on that one. So, okay. So one thing that I, you know, I don't know that we're quite ready to present this to the Board of Supervisors. What is your feeling? I think we need a little more info on the exact cost, or how are we going to divide what we're asking for? And another thing is, I just, from someone who reads these kind of reports and has to act on them, I like to have the recommendations, or what you have here, the action summary at the beginning. And then I know, how did you get there, rather than trying to figure out as I'm reading it, what are you asking for? So that's just my input. John Pointer, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Elaine. Dave, committee members, I thought you guys did this is a great start. Mm-hmm. It shows you the challenge. When I was reading through the data, I couldn't determine what the audience is, you know, but in terms of, so we say 300 isn't enough. What is the total figure? Supervisor, I'd be asking, so if it's 900, who's our target? How many of these? And also just a observation, I think we would acknowledge there's a certain element are never gonna participate, right? That, so as we try to size this, I'm making these figures up. We throw 5,000, so maybe 3 or 5,000 is the max, but we what does that represent? Does that even include the people that we acknowledge don't have a smartphone, don't have a computer, don't have any kind of internet connection, and because perhaps they're homebound or require some kind of assistance, never going to be able to or intend to participate in that, so that the maybe the five isn't really 5,000, maybe it's 3,000. I'm just making those figures up. So I think the supervisors would ask that kind of question as well as someone trying to determine, so how much is this really going to cost? I think, I concur with Elaine. I don't think we're ready for showtime yet. I think there's just, we need to walk through this because I think the presentation needs to be really, really sharp in terms of here's what we're trying to do. I think you've got the recommendations there, but I think there's still questions about who are we trying to reach and how many are these people? Because I think they'll all agree this is a noble effort. I think we all need to push this forward. It's just, Erica points out 300 is not, is less than adequate. I think as a supervisor, I'd immediately come back. So what is your target number? What are we trying to reach here? And do we do that at once? Or do we do that, you know, so many this year, so many next year, that kind of thing to try and get to the goal. But boy, you guys put a lot of work in this. Great effort.
John, yeah, the number was difficult, but we wanted some data to support that. And that's why we used the number of people that called for COVID tests or for the COVID shots. And like I said, there's very little information available about the digital divide. And so we pinned the 5,000. We can reanalyze that data, see if fine tune it. But that's what we figured was a good number, a good starting point of saying,
almost
okay,
a placeholder number with the lack of data.
We had over 5,000 people that called.
Do we have
to get the COVID shots because they didn't have the capabilities of getting online and request getting in queue to get their shots?
Do we have by any chance 5,000? Is that 5,000 number of those who called? Is it by any chance broken down by age, where we can make an educated assumption that maybe if they're 90 and over, maybe they're more in the more frail category and would not be using a device and just because of that had to have a relative call? Is it broken down by age at all, those calls? No? Okay.
No, and then I also, don't think it was.
Okay, and Erica's shaking her head that it wasn't. So, and then and also, John made a point about maybe, you know, doing it in stages. My concern is, but Erica, please chime in, that this CARES Act funding sunsets. I mean, we have to use it by a certain time or it goes away. So I think right now we need to go after whatever's available there and then later come back to a longer term plan.
But yeah, I would say that the CARES Act funding deadlines are driving this at the state level. They need to get these iPads allocated. Because the money needs to be spent by a certain amount of time. So anything that we wanted to do over and above that, of course, if it wasn't CARES funding, we would have more time. I will say, you know, this is a right now problem because we have the digital divide that was exacerbated by COVID. And now so many services and programs have virtual offerings. So it's making that divide even wider. But in the same token, we have an aging population that in 5 years, we may not have this problem because the young seniors are already plugged in. So it very much is a right now problem. I think a 2-year investment is reasonable. And I think that one of the ways that we could get to, there's kind of like the soft number, you know, like a number that John was referring to. What is the possibility? What is the universe? That's a guess based on the call numbers. We could go with that. I think that's important. Whoever thought of that is, I think, really creative. good job, Meredith. You're a smart cookie. But the other thing that we could do is we could just start with the 300 and see what kind of demand we get and start a waiting list and say, here's the 300 that we issued, but here's the 2000 that we have on a waiting list that say they don't have a device, you know, and make it more of a real data kind of need-based thing.
The other thing I'm concerned about is that the state has their equity priorities, but a lot of the offerings right now for reduced price devices and internet also benefit those same groups, which is wonderful. But then we have other people that don't qualify because they don't qualify for SNAP and other benefits that trigger them into those programs that are still unconnected.
Mm-hmm. Which then it leads to a downward spiral. So.
So I believe in equity and I think that's important, but sometimes the same group is qualified over and over again in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, at some point it starts putting other groups at a disadvantage.
Yes.
So Erica, by your comments, I'm wondering, do you think that there's not the opportunity for Orange County to get more from the CDA or more from what they're distributing? So you think that whatever we ask for is going to come from the county itself and not from the state?
At least as it stands right now, there's other state initiatives for broadband connectivity, other income-sensitive programs like Meredith mentioned, but the actual here's a device that's preloaded, it's just under the chat initiative that was funded by CARES. Once the state passes their next fiscal year budget, they have held back some funds for some pooled projects. So if they have enough counties that are saying this is great, but we need more, I think that would be a good argument to get us additional, but it's not going to happen right away.
Even if we could double it to 600 or triple it to 900, something more than 300.
Yeah,
but their total was what, 4,000 devices for the state?
Yes. Yeah.
So proportionally, what is the percentage of seniors in Orange County statewide, and is that the right percentage for us?
Yeah, I think it's a little more than 300. I don't know the exact number. I want to say like 360 or 380 or something like that. It might be significantly more than 300. But yeah, we're considered a large county. And so 300 plus is actually a lot. There's smaller counties in rural areas that are only getting, you know, less than 100. So
yeah, well, 300 out of 4,000 is 7.5%. So does Orange County have 7.5% of the state senior citizens? Or do we have more? I don't know that number.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, there's 50 something counties in California.
56.
All of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 56. Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's like, even though we're insulted by the number, because we know there's a greater need, it may be well, but that's, you know, that's proportional to how many seniors you have, because there are other, you know, other counties have seniors too. Okay.
And then for Get Set Up, do we know how much it would cost for the county to offer access, like Sacramento County is?
I haven't been able to get an exact quote from Paul Murillo. He was the presenter on Get Set Up. We're actually scheduled to talk mid-July. We just couldn't sync up our calendars, but we're going to have a follow-up meeting because I really want to nail down a price. If this is going to be included in our ask, we need to know what we're asking for.
Well, and also on Get Set Up, you don't need to, it doesn't need to be on the device, because when we all went to it, you can go to it, you can go to the website. It's a matter of having a subscription. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just a countywide subscription And whoever wants to go on to it can.
Now, don't tell anyone in Sacramento, but if you go to their website, you can get your subscription through them. we're not going to do that, but it's really easy to sign up because you just go to the AAA's website, click on the link, and you're in.
Yeah, so that might, you know, that might be a way. Then also those seniors who we don't need to provide a device to, at least they have access to it. And then that's more equitable to all seniors in Orange County. So that may be a route we want to pursue, just having it available to whoever via subscription.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dave, what do you need from us? Do you understand the direction for the next meeting of your committee or? Or do you want to think and then get back to Erica and I? And
yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Just the three of us putting our heads together and just directing the committee on how to proceed further.
The committee's done a great job. I don't want anyone to think that, you know, it came short. It didn't. You've done a tremendous job in a very short period of time.
And
we're providing input to kind of refine it so that we can present the ask to the board of supervisors.
Okay. And I think sending Erica's got a lot of information that we need, I think, for this. I hate to pin the report, the success or development on that, just on the number 5,000. I think there's a lot more information in this report that pertains to the health, the digital divide. And I think that information is still critical and that needs to get to the Board of Supervisors too. But I think we can fine tune the numbers and different options that might be available through that. But I think if Erica could join the committee on our, both you and Erica could join the committee on our next meeting and we can all sit down and just kind of fine tune that. I know Meredith will be helpful in that area, but we'll just, I'll just report back to the committee and just say what we need to fine tune. And in the interim, I'll talk to both you and Elaine and Erica with fine-tuning.
One more idea. Yeah,
and all of the supporting data is very important because it supports your recommendations. Mm-hmm. So all of this is very important, what has been included.
Meredith, you?
So if we were able to come up with an ask that included a multitude more of the chat program, Erica, would we need to also include funding for a part of an FTE to administer that?
If it's outside funding and it doesn't require the same level of administration, then no.
Okay.
But if we're going to try and advocate with other counties to the state to expand the CHAP program, but it's still going to come with the same level of administration, then yes, that will be a lift.
We don't want to leave your group.
But thank you for thinking of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to put a heavy burden, any more burden on the Office on Aging. Definitely not.
And all right. Programs have to be staffed.
I know working through governmental agencies and grants, it is a headache to administer and to report back on everything that is occurring. And I know that is a challenge, so we will definitely take that into heart and fine-tuning this.
So for anything that's related to chat, what is our deadline or timeline? Because we have our next board meeting is July 27th. Hmm. Are we going to need to receive a report from the technology committee prior to July 27th? So we can act on it and forward it to the board.
Well, I think chat's got its own calendar. And I don't think if we're looking something outside of chat, we can do that independently.
Right, but for chat, if we're asking, I don't know what the technology committee is going to come back with, but if we're asking for some increase for the board to advocate for an increased level of support from chat, by when do we need to have that asked in? And what I'm saying, since our next executive board meeting is a month from now, is that too late? Do we need to move that up and just understand we may need to call an executive board meeting just to approve the report to then forward to the Board of Supervisors?
I think the chat devices are coming, regardless, we just had to opt into the program. So they're gonna come after July 1st. If we wanted to advocate for additional devices, we probably need to successfully get those out first, and then say, hey, we're out of them, but we have, calls coming in or people requesting more, we just don't have any more to give. That would be the time when we need to advocate for expanding that program.
Okay, so end of July is adequate, or just everyone stay tuned?
Yeah, well, the devices will have to ship here. We have to tag them all. We have to develop the policy for how they're going to be distributed and get them out. So I would say even into the fall before we really have a clear picture of what that gap is.
Okay.
But then are we at the end of the line of asking for funding when lots of people have different requests from the Board of Supervisors? I'm not sure how that works with the funding.
Well, their budget starts July 1, their new fiscal year. So they've already approved their budget. So it's just whatever additional funds or whatever additional CARES Act money they're getting. So yeah, we want to ask sooner rather than later. So, well, we'll work on this. And then if we need to call a meeting just so we can forward the report. Okay, Dave, do you have anything else for us?
No, just FYI for Erica and yourself, Meredith sent out a notice that June 25th is our next
this Friday
committee meeting. So
I'll add Erica, if she is able to come, she'll have the invitation.
What time?
1 o'clock.
You're in luck. I'm open.
All awesome. Right. I'll send it to you right now.
We will invite you to join our meeting.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thanks to the committee. They did a super job on
that. They did. They got right to it. Got all the good information, the good data. A lot of creative thinking on how do we come up with these numbers, so and how to seek out that information, and an understanding of that we need to present this data to back up our requests. So I appreciate the work of all the members of the committee. So before we move on, since you are a member of that committee and here on our meeting, did you have anything to add, Meredith? Or did we cover it all?
No, I think that we covered it well. It was a really good discussion. It's always good once you've been in the weeds to get feedback from fresh eyes.
All righty, thank you. So moving on to item number 9, presentation schedule. Phil, do you have any information for us? Phil, you're muted. Phil? Okay, well, he's muted, and hopefully he'll unmute and let us know if he has information. Let's go on to Cynthia for Senior Center Liaisons.
Okay, well, I have an idea. Do I need to present it now to you, Elaine, or should I wait about because of the success of our last questionnaire and maybe next month, do another one for the liaisons to find out if, you know, what they might need, where we maybe can help. And so that was my thought and idea about, you know, getting out And that way we also can reconnect and get more contact closer. I thought the idea, the questionnaire was, you know, a great idea for two reasons, because besides the information, but the connection that a lot of us were able to make. And I don't know, I think we need to maybe continue that.
No, I think that's an excellent idea. And maybe next month after the Charitable Ventures meeting, and hopefully that advisory steering committee will have something to push out to the senior centers. Right. And then we could draw the senior center directors, draw their attention to that. So I think that might be a good way for SCAC to connect with the senior centers.
And in August, they'll be already starting to maybe get better opened and in more, you know, understand some of their problems. So yeah, let's plan on doing something like that, I hope.
Okay, good. And then we'll also need to adjust the liaisons, because we do have a few new members who hadn't been assigned yet.
I was going to email you because I didn't want to take up our time, but yeah, you need to resend me the names.
Yeah, and well, we'll do that. And I'm also thinking, because since we know we have another member coming on, but that won't be till late July. When do we do this? So you and I will talk.
Okay, yes.
And we'll get that figured out. So does anyone have any feedback for us on how that went with the senior center liaisons contacting the senior center directors? So, no? Okay, good. Move on. Item number 11, members in good standing. Elizabeth, do you have anything for us?
Okay. At the SCAC main meetings, we have attendance has been good. At the legislative committee, we have one person with three absences and another with two.
Are they staff members, or are they just standing committee members?
The one with two is a SCAC member. And that person also has not turned in a single month of the volunteer hours.
Who is it?
So we have January through May.
Okay.
And
is that who is that member? Are they?
Jim Levy.
Okay. I think Jim had some health issues earlier in the year. So. Okay.
And then we also have another SCAC member who has not turned in any volunteer hours. Now, I have sent these gentle reminders a few times. Nothing.
And who is that?
That is Sherry Geyer.
Okay, so hasn't turned in any all year?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But she's still coming to the committee.
Yeah.
She is attending the standing committee meetings. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll address those. Okay, anything else? Any questions for Elizabeth? Okay, on to announcements. Anyone have anything they'd like to announce?
I wanted to mention, I know I talked to Elaine about it, but just as a reminder, so Charitable Ventures would like to come to the July 9th meeting to just kind of give an overview to the full council on the reopening efforts. I don't know that they'll need a ton of time, but I presume there'll be some questions too. So is that still good to put on the July 9th agenda?
Yeah,
we can talk in under my update too.
Yeah, no, we can have it. Do you know, are they just going to speak, or are they going to have any type of slides or?
They may have a few slides just to keep themselves organized, but you know, they'll do whatever we ask them to do. If we think it's better that they just keep it brief and informal, we can do that too.
Okay, very good. We'll be put them on the agenda. Okay, anything else before we adjourn? Well, I appreciate everyone making themselves available for this meeting. I know we generally don't meet in June, but we felt with the reopening of the senior centers and everything that there were some, you know, items that we needed to touch base on. So thank you very much. I'll see you all at the July 9th SCAC meeting, and then our next executive board meeting is July 27th. So thank you, everyone. And Bye. The meeting is adjourned. Bye.
I'd like to